Zach here with City of Pensacola. We are at Public Works with Fred and Brandon, the famous salt spreaders from the snowstorm of 2025. What you think, Fred?
It's horrible.
It's horrible, he said. So, how'd you learn how to spread salt that good, Fred?
Brandon taught me.
What about one of you had some of this going on there? The little Mardi Gras bead throw, maybe?
A little salt seasoning, a little bead throw, an entirely inadequate amount of salt being spread from the back of the pickup truck by the City of Pensacola Public Works workers. And joining us now, by the way, not Mayor D.C. Reeves. He is out for the day or for the week. But in his stead, we have the city administrator, former commanding officer at NAS Pensacola, now city administrator for the City of Pensacola, retired Captain Tim Kinsella. Lucky, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Before we get to talking about the salt, how'd I do on choice of song?
It was perfect. Well done. Or it was one of my favorites. That was actually the song that me and my wife danced to during our wedding.
Just kidding. All right. Oh, so that's how it's going to be. All right. I fell for it. And that's fair enough. You know, one for you. You win. Okay. So let's do talk a little bit about this. I loved that they embraced the funny. I love that they did a video acknowledging how silly it was to be spreading such a tiny amount of salt on a street. Not that it was dry, that was fine, but on a, you know, I mean, they're in Pensacola. What do they know about preparing a street for a snowstorm, right?
Yeah, right. Actually, I talked to the directors about the yesterday and how, I don't know, I was just really proud of the guys that we owned it.
Yeah.
We some folks make fun of us. Fine. That's okay. The guys are out there doing their best. And it was a funny video. So own it. You know, just make it ours. Make it our own. We throw the words historical and unprecedented around a lot. But this was historical. It was unprecedented. And we don't know the first thing about how to prepare for a snowstorm. We were learning on the job. So, it was great, that video. It was perfect.
I know. And by the way, I think that one of the great kudos for the City of Pensacola is that, you know, I guess through D.C.'s connection with the mayors and the organization that he goes to all the time where he meets all these mayors, is that that's what allowed you guys to secure the snowplows. I would have never in my life thought we'd see snowplows running around through downtown Pensacola, but that was a big advantage too, is having, you know, plows and a fairly large amount of salt in the end was actually distributed. But, you know, those are good things that you guys get kudos for.
Yes. So in the entire Northwest Florida, there's two snowplows for the entire of the Northwest Florida, and they're not in Pensacola. When we declared, we wanted to declare an emergency as soon as possible so we could give the mayor the tools that he needed and we needed to be able to spend the money we needed to do. So getting those snow plows was, it was actually our public works director, Amy Tootle, working with some of our partners in here in the area, Rhodes Incorporated, and they were able to bring down some plows down from Atlanta.
Oh, so it was Rhodes Inc. Okay. No, that's interesting. It was Rhodes Inc. That's interesting. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No. But the, Amy called me, I mean, as right when we started really preparing for it, and she's like, "Man, Tim, I got some great news. We got 5 snow plows from Atlanta." I says, "You're kidding me." He says, "Nope, they're on the road right now. They're driving down." And they were the saving grace, because our number one concern was that we kept those major arteries clear for emergency vehicles, because we knew there was going to be emergencies during the storm. There was either going to be fires, medical emergencies, police emergencies. So to get those vehicles to the residences and then to the hospitals if necessary, and I'm really glad we did, because there were several fires, there were medical emergencies or police emergencies that, if it wasn't for those snowplows, it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, Cervantes, Pace, Garden, Davis Highway, Airport, Brent. I mean, you know, it was really well done to keep those roads open so that first responders could, you know, get to where they need to go. People could get to the hospital if they needed, you know, the key parts of that. What's in the debrief? Yeah. What did you guys learn for, God forbid, next time? The answer certainly can't be invest in a lot of anti-snow, paraphernalia, because it's an unproductive. But I assume what you were thinking about was how can we prearrange, joint use agreements or memorandums of understanding or reciprocity agreements so that we have this in place in the future if we have to prepare. Is that right?
Yeah. I've been through a few crises in my life, and to be honest with you, I'm kind of getting over being in a leadership position for all these unprecedented things that happen in a crisis.
Yeah, no kidding.
But the important thing in any crisis are about people. Number one, they're always about people. The people being affected and the people that are responding to it. And I don't care what kind of a crisis it is, whether it's a financial crisis or it's a natural disaster, whatever it is, it's always about people. And in order to get the resources appropriate to stem the bleeding in any crisis, it's all about the decision points and having the ability to make the right decisions, having the right people in the room to make those decisions, and having the right authorities to be able to do it and do it quickly. So that was my number one focus from the beginning of this, and setting the city up in a way that the mayor had the information that he needed and support that he needed to be able to make decisions when necessary, so we could get our people the things that they needed. And out of everything that happened, I think that was probably the most important thing. That was the thing that allowed us to be so flexible and get this stuff done, just allowing our folks to do their job and giving them the authorities that they need and the funding that they needed to be able to go and do it.
Look at that. If you make an organization full of experienced and good decision makers, you'll get good results in the end. Makes sense. Of course, I know you're well aware. Yesterday, the White House put out this sudden announcement that all funding to everybody was going to be paused. And then they, kind of came out with some clarification that it wouldn't affect things like direct payments to individuals through Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, or SNAP. But still, we know that the county is now doesn't know what's going to happen with their initiative to buy electric vehicles for ECAT and a couple of other initiatives. What does the city see? It's now been paused by a judge, so the pause is paused. But still, Monday, everything could change. What are you guys doing to prepare? What do you see being potentially in jeopardy?
Great question. So my number one focus was to understand what programs were under jeopardy within the next 24 to 48 hours, because after spending 32 years in the federal government, I knew that this was going to eventually work itself out, that we would get clarity. It was unfortunate that the memo from OMB didn't really give the clarity that a lot of municipalities and counties and other organizations needed to understand what was going to get cut. When you read the memo, you think, oh, it's this, it's that. Yeah, that's clear. It's really not. There's federal funding is really complex. And the amount of programs that touch our citizens that are done so by federal dollars is huge. One of the biggest ones was our Section 8 housing. Really, our entire housing department is run through federal dollars. So we needed to understand what the repercussions were to those citizens that are expected rent. And that's 1,800 citizens that are elderly, that are disabled, that are in dire need, that qualify for that Section 8 housing. So and this also coincided with the end of the month when rent was due. So we had to understand what we were going to do to try and allay the fears of the landlords that are expecting the checks, but more importantly, those residents that expect to have a roof over their heads for the next 30 days.
Yeah.
So we kind of had a plan in place, but fortunately, thank goodness, HUD came out at the end of yesterday to say that after they got clarification from OMB to say that Section 8 housing would not be affected. So that was really the biggest one that I was worried about. All the other things, the big projects that we're working on, funding for the American Magic Hangar, for Hollis T. Williams Stormwater Park, all of those were long-term projects that if I don't have clarification in the next week or 2 weeks, that's okay. We can, because they're long-term, and some of those projects haven't started yet, but really getting to understand in the next 24 hours what's going to affect us, how are we going to be able to mitigate that? Because I knew within a few days everything would start getting clarity, and I think you're going to start seeing that over the next couple of days on Monday, Tuesday. We've already seen lawsuits against the federal government by states. That's going to force the government to clarify themselves. There's members of Congress that are their phones are ringing off the hook from citizens, municipalities, states to try and get clarity on exactly what this means. So I think the White House is going to come out with clear direction here in the next couple of days.
Yeah, and it's a bit of an unfortunate situation for us because we don't have a congressman right now, so you don't have that direct access. Of course, you have Senator Scott and Ruby. Well, and Senator Scott, and I guess Senator Moody? Anyway, yeah, I guess, you know, so you do have some access, but getting clarity, as you say, is going to be the key. I would imagine the grant writers at the city are also kind of like, all of a sudden, the whole world might be different because, you know, one of the things that D.C. has done so effectively in his administration is you go out to get other people's money, you know, and now all of that stuff may change. So, you know, we'll see how it shakes out. But I appreciate that perspective. And it's good news to hear that at least the most urgent need for the people who depend on the money for their rent is, you know, that that's going to be okay. One of the things that I was curious about is we, you know, city council took some action last time around on the Bay Bluffs Park. Am I right in thinking that we might start to see actual construction slash demolition activity maybe this summer? And do we know yet really what the long-term shape of the park reopening is going to look like?
So let me just so citizens understand, this is a $2.2 million grant that we got from the Florida Department of Environmental Protection, but actually we didn't get it. It has to be administered through Conservation Florida. So what happened in the last city council was that we entered into it. We council gave us permission to enter into an agreement with Conservation Florida. Now Conservation Florida has to work with the Department of Environmental Protection to actually get that $2.2 million. So they are just the flow through where that money is going to come to us. So if folks are wondering why is this taking so long, this is the burdensome part of getting grants from outside entities. The project is, we want to do this right. We've got, as with a lot of these grant projects, we've got one chance to do this right and do it right for the citizens. So we want to get citizen input. We want them to be part of the solution to what the Bay Bluffs Park is going to look like. I've heard, you know, we put out that it might take about 2 years, you know, trying to have it done by 2027. I'd like to see it done sooner.
Oh, okay.
I'm looking into a lot of projects within the city that we can perhaps change how we do business a little bit and try and speed those up to get the citizens the use of that park. It's been, it's such a beautiful asset for the city and for the residents that I'd really like to see us getting it done sooner. But we got to do it right. We got to do it. And that sometimes takes a little bit longer than we would like. Plus, the fact that we've got so many projects going on in the city that if you just take one of them, it would be a generational project just by itself. So we're juggling a lot of balls, and we got to make sure we get them all done right.
No, that's true. And you know what? I had been conflating in my brain, I think, the Baptist project where it looks like maybe we're going to see something this year with the Bay Bluffs Park. So I appreciate you. That's gives me a more realistic time. Disappointing that it still might be 2 years, but I understand sometimes these things kind of, they are what they are, especially with the limitations of working through a third-party agency funding, so I appreciate that. Tim Kent, go ahead, what are you saying?
If I tell you it's 2 years and we get it done in a year, then I'm wrong.
Wait, yeah, no, that's fair. It's that expectation setting. All right, we're almost completely out of time, but I did want to ask you, I think by my count, you've been on the job about 6 months, so this is my my six-month review question. What's the one thing that you've learned that was the most surprising since taking the job?
How much I love it. I swear to God, this is one of the funnest jobs and the most rewarding jobs I've almost ever had, except when I was a squadron commanding officer. That's the closest thing this compares to. And it's because when I was base commander, I loved the work and I loved the job, but I didn't have the resources or the authorities to do what I thought needed to be done. Here I do. Here we have the resources and we have the authorities to be able to make real change that affects citizens every single day. And in my mind, if you're working in public service, you couldn't work in a better place to do that. The federal government is so frustrating because things take so long. If citizens think things take a long time here in the city, man, it's lightning speed compared to what you see at the federal or state government. And the people in the city are amazing. They love this place. They work hard. The amount of hours those folks put in over the storm, it was eye-watering. So it is absolutely how much I'm enjoying this and how much fun it is.
Tim Kinsella is the city administrator for the city of Pensacola. Lucky, great to talk to you. Always appreciate the insight. Appreciate the leadership that you represent in the city and the work that your folks are doing. And we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you, sir.